All right, we're recording. Hello. Welcome. Welcome, everybody, to our first call of the Coaching Mastery Circle. I hope that all of you have had a really nice August and a restful time. My August was somewhat restful, but honestly not as restful as I would have liked. There was a lot of kid stuff going on. But nevertheless, I'm so excited to be back in the office, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you and to be kicking off Coaching Mastery Circle. I'm excited for a lot of reasons, but one of the biggest ones is because I know everybody in this program, and everybody in this circle is amazing. Each of you are close to my heart, and I just honor and respect each of you so much. If you're here, it's because we've already worked together, and it's an incredible and an amazing group of people, and I feel like it's going to be just a really, really powerful circle. So I want to just talk a little bit first about how the Coaching Mastery Circle is going to work and how to get the most out of it. And then from there, we're going to go into doing some powerful visioning and laying down of foundations for the year. So about Coaching Mastery Circle. So the reason why I put together Coaching Mastery Circle is because I felt like there was a need for sure to go deeper with coaching skills beyond what you've learned in sacred depth. So we're going to be doing a bit by way of continuing to master coaching skills. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. And then the other thing that I really saw is that there is a need. A lot of people wanted more access to me for business development, for marketing development, for deepening business structures and outreach structures and you know, all of those kind of both the nuts and bolts as well as the inner work that's needed to market in your business, create better systems in your business, all of that. And so I decided to put those two pieces together into Coaching Mastery Circle. In terms of deepening coaching skills, there's going to be a number of different ways that we're going to be doing that. First of all, we're going to have a monthly clinic call, coaching clinic call. And that's going to be an opportunity to come with any questions that you have. And anyone that's been through level two of Sacred Depths, it's just like our coaching clinic calls in level two of Sacred Depths. It's going to be an opportunity to come forward with any questions that you have about what's going on with a particular client, with a client case study, with maybe a trend that you're seeing among your different clients, with an obstacle that you feel you have when it comes to coaching your clients or to working with your groups. We can absolutely bring group work into the mix and some curriculum into the mix. Because so much of coaching is involved in enrollment conversations and sales conversations, you can feel free to bring any questions that you have about sales processes that you're in the middle of, enrollment conversations, that sort of thing. So that's one thing that we're going to be doing to continue to deepen your coaching skills. And I'll tell you, and for those of you that have been in level two or an advanced sacred depth, you know the value of those coaching clinic calls. There is very little opportunity in the industry to have a supervision space. I really see it as a supervision space where you can come and get feedback on how to better help your clients get results with wherever they're at. The other thing that we're going to be doing by way of deepening your coaching skills is that each month we'll have an opportunity either live or you'll get it via recording. It just depends on the month. I'm going to be giving kind of like a supplemental coaching skill for you to learn, for you to be thinking about, for you to be working on. If it's live, we'll oftentimes have opportunity to practice the skill on the call. The skills I'm going to be teaching in Coaching Mastery Circle are not a substitute for all of the skills in Sacred Depths. Everything that you get in Sacred Depths, like, that's the foundation. Those are the most important things. What I'm going to be giving you in Coaching Mastery Circle are like the cherries on top. They're supplemental that you're really going to use everything that you've learned in Sacred Depths to then absorb these new skills and have some new tools and techniques to use with clients. There's also an option if you choose, and we'll get that going. I'll ask the team to get that going. If you want to continue with a coaching buddy through Coaching Mastery Circle. For those of you that have had coaching partners or coaching buddies in Sacred Depths, you know how valuable the practice is with someone who already knows the Sacred Depths language, the Sacred Depths philosophy, the Sacred Depths tools and techniques, to be able to practice with them, to get feedback from them. In the Advanced Sacred Depths program that I did last year, we had a couple of triplet groups, which also worked really well and really powerfully, where instead of just it was two buddies, it was three people that would come together, and one would coach another one, and then there would also be an observer, and everybody would give feedback. So there's lots of opportunities here in the circle if you would like more practice, and it can be ongoing, or you can set it up for every now and again. But I do just really want to put that out there for you if you're someone who really thrives with practice. So lots of different ways that we're going to be working on helping you get better and better and even better at co-creating results and transformation with your clients. And I just want to really, if you're here, I want to really honor you that you're here in this circle, because that's something that you value, is the quality of your work. And as you know, I think that's the bedrock of any successful business. Period. It's the most important thing. On the business development side of things, we're going to be doing a couple of things. Now, the first thing that I want to say, and I've said this to all of you already, all of you know this, a Coaching Mastery Circle, we're going to be touching on business pieces, but it's obviously not a replacement for one-on-one business coaching, or even a mastermind that's devoted exclusively just to, you know, marketing strategies. But that being said, you know me, and I'm going to give you as much as I can. And there are very few instances where if you ask me for something or for more support, where I'm not going to give it to you, right? You guys know me. I'm going to give you as much as I can. And so there are a couple of different ways where you're going to be really supported by this circle to move forward with your marketing and your business development. So first of all, just all of the coaching mastery is going to support all of that. It's going to help you be more confident when it comes to your marketing. It's going to help you be more confident when it comes to asking for referrals, for repeat business, you know, all of those pieces. But in addition to that, there are a couple things that we're going to be doing and that we're going to have. So number one, we're going to have a monthly business Q&A open session call, and that's an opportunity where you can bring any question that you have for me when it comes to marketing, when it comes to outreach, when it comes to sales calls, when it comes to your offerings, when it comes to your messaging, when it comes to your team, if you have a team, when it comes to your systems, you know, any of those pieces, and of course any inner pieces, any fears, any obstacles, any your resistances that you see coming up. And for those of you that have been on an open coaching Q&A business calls with me, you know how valuable they are, not just to ask questions, but to really take in everybody that's being coached. There's so many nuggets that come through for everybody on those calls. So you're going to have that opportunity. You're also going to have in your membership center a whole library of recorded trainings on business topics. This is going to, you'll have all of the Your Sacred Business trainings in there and authentic enrollment conversations, you know, for review and all of that. But in addition to that, there's going to be a whole slew of advanced business and marketing trainings in there, not to be listened to all at once, as you need them. And I'll also suggest them, you know, as you ask questions and as we talk about things. So all of that content is there for you to draw upon. We're also going to be doing monthly blueprinting together, and I'll talk more about that a little later. But, you know, I was thinking a lot, and I know I didn't promote this, you know, when I invited you all into the circle, but I was thinking a lot, you know, Coaching Mastery Circle, all of you understand the concept of container, right? So there are some programs that are really tight containers, and there are some programs that are designed to be looser containers. And Coaching Mastery Circle is really designed as a looser container, not a tighter container. There's not a specific curriculum like in Sacred Depth, for example, or Your Sacred Business that I'm teaching you every week or every other week. This program is so much about what you bring to it, the questions that you're going to bring, you know, how you're going to participate. And it's really geared to suit each person's needs. So there's always pros to looser containers, and there's cons to looser containers. The con is it's looser, right? So there's not as much accountability. And so as I was thinking about this, I wanted to, you know, with as much as I could within this program, I wanted to give you more accountability to your business development. And so one of the things that I think will really help with that is if you'd like to participate, I want you to create a blueprint every month. And again, we'll go through, for those of you that don't remember how to do blueprints, we'll go through later today and talk about that. It's one of the things that keeps me always moving forward in my business, and I use it with my one-on-one clients. It's a highly effective tool for productivity, for staying on your path, for holding yourself accountable. So I'm going to add that to the mix here for those of you that would like to do that. We're going to have a Facebook group that's private and just for this circle, and you'll be invited to that. We haven't invited anyone to it yet. I wanted to have our first call today. You'll be invited to that later today. And I want to really invite you to use the Facebook group. So back to me, again, you guys know me. You know that if there's some, if you ask me something, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to do my best to answer it. And so I wanted you to have a space in between our sessions where if you wanted to connect with me and to connect with all of the other amazing people in this circle for feedback, for questions, for resources, you know, any of that, for you to have a space for that. So we'll be doing that. And Facebook, I just really want to encourage you to ask questions. I will meet you where you're at. Whatever you need from me, I'm going to try to give it to you. So participate, right? And again, this is a looser container. So for some of you, you know, you may not need to show up for every call. You may have what you need on a particular week, and you don't need to ask a question. That's great. But for others of you, you need to show up for every single call. And you know who you are if that's you, right? You need to make it a tighter container for yourself. You need to constantly ask questions, to be checking in with your progress. Make the program work for you. It's designed to work in lots of different ways based on what you need. If as we go along, I know some of you, you know, I'm already working with also privately, if we go along and you realize that you need an extra session or you want to do a 45-minute private session with me here and there, there's the opportunity to purchase one in your member center as well. And, you know, that just may come up sometime. Okay, so let me just pause there. Just any questions on how the program is going to work or how you can receive the most from it? Any logistical questions? Star two. I think I laid it out pretty thoroughly, but just want to make sure there aren't any questions. All right. So we're going to be doing a couple of things for the remainder of our call. The first thing that we're going to be doing is some visioning. Well, it's all foundation setting. So, you know, call just this first part some visioning foundation setting. So, you know, we're starting in September, and I always think of September as the new year because it's my birthday in August and lots of different reasons. Anyway, I plan my business years out September through August. So I always think of September as the new business year. So for this coming year, in 12 months from now, so a year from now, what would you like to have accomplished by way of your coaching skills and by way of your business? Take a moment to jot down for yourself. Over the next 12 months, what would you like to accomplish? Both by way of how you're serving your clients, your coaching skills, your facilitation skills, your leadership skills. And what is it that you would like to have accomplished by way of your business? Perhaps there's a number attached there, but there doesn't have to be a number, an income number attached there. Might be about certain offerings that you know you want to add to your roster this year, amounts of clients, or something else. I'm going to give you a couple moments for this one so you can really sense into it. What what is it that you really want to accomplish, both by way of your coaching skills, how you're showing up with clients, the kinds of transformations that you're co-creating together. The kind of success that they're having through the work with you, as well as what would you like to accomplish in terms of business itself. And as you take a look at what you've answered for that question, I want you to ask yourself this. Is what you've just answered exciting to you? Do you feel that excited energy about it, or are there pieces that are like ho-hum? If you feel excited and desiring it, great. If it feels ho-hum, then it may need to be shifted or tweaked in some way. So, is it exciting? And also, is it doable but with a stretch? Is it doable but with a stretch? So, you guys know what I mean by that. We never want to choose goals that aren't doable, but the best goals, the ones that are going to move us forward, oftentimes they're always doable, but oftentimes they're going to stretch us in a way. They're in a little bit of a different place than we are right now, and we're going to have to stretch to get there. So are they exciting? And are they doable but stretchy? And stretchy, I should say, not but. And then just tweak anything that needs to be tweaked based on those questions. Next thing that I want you to meditate on and write about is a why question. Why do you want to accomplish these things? This may sound like a kind of simple question, like, oh, duh, well, because I want to make money, or whatever it is, because I want to be better, you know, whatever it is. But there's a deeper why even underneath all of that. What's your why? Why do you want to accomplish these things? Why are they important enough to you to make happen? Why are you willing to stretch to make them happen? There's a sacred reason or reason. Next question, it's another why question. Why is this year the year that you're ready to accomplish this and that you're meant to accomplish this? Why is this the year for these particular goals? The reason I ask that question is because timing, aligned, you know, divine timing, aligned timing, whatever you want to call it, is everything. I have found that there have been times in my career for certain offerings, and there have been other great offerings, but it hasn't been the right time, or, you know, income goals, or amount of visibility, or new skills, or, you know, whatever it is. So why is this year the year for these particular goals? We've got some more questions. When you think about what stopped you from accomplishing certain goals in the past, or what's made it hard, what do you sense is going to get in your way in accomplishing the goals that you've just set out for yourself? And you know, like your inner wisdom knows. I mean, there's always some things that are in the mystery that we don't know, but like 80% of the obstacles we actually do know. And the more that we can just see them and name them and face them and work with them, then the less power they're going to have, right? So what do you anticipate could get in your way of accomplishing what you want to accomplish this year? What do you anticipate will get in your way? Here's another way, kind of like entryway into being able to think about that question. What habits do you have that will potentially distract you from your goal? It could be mental habits. It could be social media habits. It could be self-care habits. It could be outreach habits. What are habits that you know could really get in the way of you accomplishing your goals? And then I'll give just another kind of level to the same topic that we're looking at, another entryway in. What boundaries need to be firmed up in order to accomplish your goals? What are the boundaries that need to be firmed up in order to accomplish your goals? And boundaries might mean boundaries with yourself, in terms of accountability or when you go to sleep or, you know, whatever it is. Boundaries may mean if you have a team or people that support you in your business. I know for me, that's kind of come to a head in my own business right now. There's some boundaries that I need to firm up. Boundaries might be with people in your family or people in your personal life. So what are the boundaries that you know are going to need to be firmed up so that you can accomplish your goals? I promise in a little bit we'll have some space for share and for me to give feedback and coaching on all this. I know I'm asking a lot of questions. So when you take a look at those last three questions that I asked you, you know, what might potentially stop you from accomplishing your goals? What are the habits? What are the boundaries? As you take a look at everything that you answered for those, I want you to give yourself some corrective prescriptions, I guess is the best way to put it, right? So like what actions, what prescriptions do you want to give yourself to correct or to address or to face or to work with the obstacles that you've uncovered? I'll give you another minute with that one. What are the prescriptions, the corrective prescriptions you want to give to yourself based on all that you're seeing so far? All right. Next question. We've looked at some goals that you want to create for this next year. What I want you to sense into next is, how do you want to feel over this next year? So I don't have to explain too much about this question to this group. You know, what I've found in my business and in my life is that accomplishing the goals are awesome, right? Like, yes, we want to accomplish the outer goals 110%. But if I'm not feeling the way that I want to feel when I'm accomplishing them, then it almost doesn't matter. I don't want to say it doesn't matter because it does. Again, it's great to accomplish goals, but like I've had years where I've accomplished my business goals, but I've felt a lack of freedom the whole entire year because of how I was accomplishing those goals, or like no pleasure whatsoever, or like catastrophic thinking, you know, the whole way through, or, you know, whatever it is, right? And so it's not just about what we accomplish, that's important, but it's about the quality of our lives and the quality of the time that we spend. And that's less about what we accomplish and more about how we feel. So how, if you could just pick one, maybe two, no more than two, ways that you want to feel this year, what would it be? What's the energy? Another way of thinking about this question is, what's the energy that you really want to embody over the next 12 months? And then why? Right? Because there's like so many energies to pick from, and of course, hopefully, we'll embody all of them. But if one or two had to rise to the top for this year, why those? Why are those important? Why is this the year for those energies to be embodied and more deeply integrated inside of you? Okay, let's pause here for a moment. Hopefully all the questions that I've been asking so far have stirred up a lot and have revealed a lot. I would love to hear what you're seeing so far from these questions, what feels important to you, what's coming through, and where you have questions. Star two. What are you seeing so far? What are you getting excited about? What feels important? Michelle.
Hi. It's so awesome to do this again. I'm seeing the green ink. I'm seeing my green ink across my pages. That's what I use. I'm like, oh, goody. I'm noticing that. The thread that seems to be pulling through is, and it's not just with my business, it's with all sorts of things that I really want to step into my expertise. I'll put it in the vernacular instead of being out of the bush. I want to feel like the badass that I am. Does that make sense? There's people see me one way, I feel something completely different. And the set of feelings I'm sitting in is not helping build anything.
Uh-huh. I love that that's the intention, like the deeper intention. I'm sure you have other goals and all of that. Because I think it says so much, Michelle, about the growth that you've experienced over, the last year or two to get you ready to this place to be like, yeah, I am ready to totally be and show up as and embody and experience myself as and bring the badass that I am.
Yeah.
There's a lot of foundation underneath that and resource underneath that. Can you see that?
I can see that. I can. And the results of it are amazing. It's just that I have to catch up with the results.
Yeah. So what's going to be, like, if there was a rule that you were going to create for yourself, almost like a sacred rule, to help support you in totally showing up and being your badass self and owning it and recognizing, you know, all of it, what's the rule here for you?
You should see my grimace. I'm like, I don't know what the rule.
I know. The word rule can be difficult. And it's like, huh? But I think to be that person, it's going to require you to either do something or not do something, inner or outer.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I think the rule is going to have to be that I have to start my day, well, connecting, like develop a or set up a ritual where I connect with my power,
yeah,
and end the day where I connect with my power.
I love it.
So, yeah, like I can start in prayer saying, I mean, I'm a vessel for what I'm trying to pull up, and I wouldn't be that vessel if I wasn't that vessel, right? And at the end of the day, to see, like, what I accomplished in that thing.
Yeah, and I think instead of, like, what did I accomplish at the end of the day, I wouldn't list out all the ways that you were badass throughout the day.
Okay.
I love it. Does it feel like you can make that a rule, like, commit to that?
Yeah, I do think that. I do think I can do that.
Awesome. I love it. Great. Good, good, good. All right, let's hear a couple more shares. This is awesome. Dana.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi.
I was making sure you could hear me because I was on mute before. So, yeah, I'm loving this. When you said the feelings or the energy we want to embody, like immediately ease and flow popped in my head. And I think it's because I've been in this realm of like trying to start a business for like 5 or 6 years now as sort of the side hustle. And the biggest thing that stopped me was I'm very prone to overwhelm and anxiety. And the moment I get there, I completely shut down. So when I put too much on my plate or I'm trying to do too many things, I shut down. So for me, it needs to feel easeful. It needs to feel flowing. And then I got the things that I need to do to get there. And I love it because at this point, none of it is new anymore. It's just really getting those habits and getting them in place is just being much more organized with my work schedule, being very efficient with my time, batching stuff, like all of those little things that I've been thinking about doing, but they haven't been a habit for me for the last 2 years. Like I've gotta do that now because with a day job, you know, there's not a lot of extra time.
Totally.
So.
No, 100%. I think it's so insightful, all that you're bringing forward. And for you and anyone that's listening to Dana and is resonating, like for you in particular, the blueprinting is going to be really important.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And I've been avoiding it. It's been on my to-do list for like 3 months, blueprint quarter. So, yes.
Okay, good. So hopefully in the container here together, we could actually make that happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad that you even said that as an accountability tool we're going to use together. I was excited. So, yay.
Good, 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 good. Awesome. Let's see, who is this? Your name isn't coming up. 0684.
Hi, Joanna. This is Nicole.
Hi, I had a feeling that might be you.
Yeah, this is me. Hi, nice to hear your voice again.
Me too.
What comes up for me is the energy of a traveler. And I want to feel this energy also in my work as a coach. Because the energy of a traveler, I love to travel, but I also want to feel it in my work because it gives me the energy of freedom. And I think my work is like a journey. And I think I'm a guide for my clients. I help them to be their own guide. But somehow seeking how to, I'm coaching one-on-one, but somehow I'd like to develop new ideas and want to write more. Still a little bit of fear expressing those things. And I think there's more to come out, but we'll have the whole year to find out what.
I love it, and it feels so perfect for where you're at, and mm-hmm. it makes so much sense. What is something you can put into practice right away, like starting today or tomorrow, that will support yeah. you to create more freedom and be more of that traveler?
Yeah, I think that's a difficult question. It's an interesting question, but also a difficult question. Starting today, well, what I already did was I had planned some trips ahead, so I know that this structure. I love structure as well. I'm a very disciplined person, but discipline not always seem to be aligned with freedom. So what could I do? Maybe visualize every day, visualizing and feel the energy of the traveler. Because I sometimes forget. I always start my day, well, I meditate and then I start. But maybe I should do some specific visualization. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
I think that'll help.
That's great. And if you're a journaler, you can also add to that or switch up with writing from the voice of the traveler.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. And asking, what do I need to know today to really connect mm-hmm. with you?
Oh, love the idea. Thank you.
yeah, you're welcome. And then the other piece, you mentioned writing as part of your freedom. If you don't have space set aside in your ideal calendar for writing,
mm-hmm.
that's the other thing I want you to think about doing. Could be once a week or a couple times a week, but I want you to make sure you have some sacred space for writing.
Yeah, great idea. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. Good. Tanya.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Well, what came up today was that just because of all of my personal stuff that's gone on this year, it feels very basic, but I want to embody like a lot of love for myself and like happiness.
Yeah.
And to move from that place and doing everything, like the work I'm doing, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like basic, but also the most advanced, right?
Yeah. It's like, I feel like it's so easy to fall into doing things because of this, and it can get tricky. Like, am I doing it to prove something? And I just want to move from that overflow, like, because I'm happy with myself. I mean, it doesn't have to be like spiritual bypassing happy, but like content with
myself. No, yeah, right, 100%. So what can you put in place? Like, it could be a rule, like I was asking Michelle, or you know, something else, but what can you put in place so this doesn't just like stay in your notebook as an idea, but something that becomes a living, breathing embodiment that you're really working on?
I got an idea from what you were saying with the first person who shared. I think that like maybe noticing what leads me to feel that way, like in the evening, can be like being grateful for and noticing like the things, you know, just those moments where I really felt that.
Yeah.
I don't know if, maybe also writing from that voice, like you just told the last person to.
I don't want you to do anything just to do it, only if it speaks to you and you feel called, right? Because then it's just another thing to check off your list. And I can't tell from, like, when you're talking right now if it feels like, yeah, I want to do those things, or if it's more of the should.
Well, I think it's actually, I need to not even think at all. Like, as I was getting out of vacation, like, my last couple of days of vacation, what I tuned into is that I'm going to make a lot of, like, I want to make a lot of space for, like, a kind of self-care that I haven't done, like, to be out of the routine of self-care, like, some energy work and just, like, very soft energy type of, energy healing, energy stuff, work like that.
Yeah, I love that. That feels really aligned.
Yeah. Thanks, Joanna.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. I know there's some other hands raised. I'm going to keep on going a little bit more, and then we'll come back to the hands, but we'll just sort of keep on adding on to what you've already uncovered. So what I want to do next, so that we can continue to create foundations for the next year, is I want to do some assessments. I want to assess some things on the skills, the coaching skills front, and I want to assess some things on the business front. For the coaching skills, for some of you, we've recently done an assessment. If that's the case, this is still really valuable to just come back to for yourself. So don't tune out if you've recently done. The way we're going to do this assessment is not exactly how we've done it before. We're going to kind of start out in the same way, and then there are going to be some other things, so pay attention. So we'll look at skills first. And the reason, I'll just say, like, the reason why I want to do this assessment, the reason why I like to do assessments is because it really, first and foremost, helps us see our resources. It helps us see where we're already strong, where we already have to draw on, where we already have flow, where we already have, like, we can draw strengths towards our goals for. It's so valuable to be able to see that. The other reason why I like to do it at the beginning of a cycle and when we're looking at goals and setting foundations is because we all have gaps. We all have places where we're not strong enough. And it's important and a productive to not just know what the gaps are. A lot of us are really good at knowing what our gaps are. Too good, I think. But it's important to know that. But not only that, it's important to know which gaps to focus on and which gaps to not focus on. And to just leave be, and to just, yeah, that's a gap. But it actually doesn't, doing anything about it or caring about it or working to improve it actually isn't going to move me forward in my goals, right? So, I mean, on a very mundane level, I'll just give an example. In my personal life, I am not a good cook. There are a couple things that I make really well, but generally not a good cook. It is a gap. And I do not worry about it because I do not need to be better at cooking, right? Or I'll give an example from my business. I, like, when it comes to technology, I have a gap, right? If you guys, those of you that know me well know, like, I'm not a tech person. But that's not something that is going to get me personally with the goals that I have currently. That's not going to move me forward in my goals. I need to not worry about it. Now, another one of my gaps, you know, full transparency that I'm seeing more and more is, while I am very bold in my messaging, there are a couple of places that I just haven't been willing to go because my Virgo sensibility thinks that they're not proper or, you know, whatever it is. And so I've just kind of ignored those places. That's a gap that I need to address and I need to find a solution for, and I need to figure out how to get more bold in those particular places in ways that really work for me, that aren't going to sound cheesy or inauthentic or out of integrity, but that they'll allow me to market more strongly and more boldly, right? So it's good to know the gaps so that you don't pay attention to all the gaps, but you decide which ones are worthwhile and how you're going to look at them. Okay, so all that being said, let's focus on coaching skills first. And I'm going to go real quick through a whole laundry list of skills, and I just want you, on a scale of either 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, just rate where you're at with them. We're going to go through them quick. So when it comes to energetics and containers, where is your mastery level with that? Your presence, your energetics, your containers, 1 to 10. When it comes to your listening skills with your clients, with your prospects, where are you there? Scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 5, whatever scale you're using. When it comes to your creating awareness skills, where are you? Helping clients create new awarenesses, see new things, creating awareness, mirroring falls under that, celebrating, honoring what is, all of those pieces. Scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 5. When it comes to visioning and strategizing, where are you with your clients? How well are you able to vision and then to create strategy? Breakthrough questioning, how masterful are you when it comes to asking questions that are going to create breakthroughs? Scale of 1 to 10. Working with resistance archetypes, the victim, when they come up with clients, the victim, the judge, the know-it-all, the flake, right? Those times where it's just like the client, they're putting a stop to the coaching process because of whatever resistance archetype they've stepped into. How masterful are you at navigating that? Systems, logistics, and boundaries. I'm going to just bunch those all into one, but you can separate them out if you want. Systems, logistics, and boundaries with coaching clients. Scale of 1 to 10. Systems are like scheduling systems, payment systems, right? How much do you have those in place? How well are you enforcing them? How well are they working for you? Obviously, that dovetails into boundaries as well. Session time, all of that. What about befriending fear? Scale of 1 to 10. How masterful are you at really working with clients to help them make friends with their fear and then walk forward with the fear? Rewiring negative thought patterns. Using neuroscience and some behavioral tools to regroove the neural pathways around beliefs to turning around beliefs. Accountability. Scale of 1 to 10, how masterful are you at this point at really helping hold accountability structures with clients so that they can be accountable to their visions and to what you strategize together, inner or outer? And we'll just look at a couple of other topics. Obviously, there's a ton. There's so many we can look at. But hitting on some biggies for today. Being in the mystery. It's usually something that you're either really good at or really not good at. how masterful are you at really holding space for clients to release, to let go, to not know, to not have all the answers, to have patience, to get the clarity, to like sit with the brick in their lap for a while. Okay, so as you take a look at that kind of quickie assessment, where are some of the places where you want to improve the most? And for those of you that have been through level 2 of Sacred Depths, you can also add shadow and archetype in there. You assess that for yourself. So where are the skills that you'd like to improve the most? And that question goes along with why, right? Because, for example, you may not be great at, resistance archetypes, but it may not come up so much for you, right? So no need to worry about that one. So where would you like to improve the most and why? And wherever it is that you really want to improve the most, the first thing that I want to invite you to do is a regular practice over the next 2 to 3 months, because you'll see a difference if you start practicing this over the next 2 to 3 months, before any sessions that you have or classes that you teach or, you know, whatever it is, I want you to set the intention to really be on your edge with whatever, you know, if you want to improve the most with breakthrough questioning, I want you to really set that intention, have it be top of mind before you go into your session. The other thing that's really helpful, and I can't recommend this enough, is to regularly write out assessment reports for sessions, and you guys have that form from Sacred Depths, you know, just a couple of simple questions after sessions that will help you really assess and see, you know, your progress. Here's another question. If you did your assessment, where are you the strongest? Which of the skills are you the strongest at? So, first of all, whatever that is, yay, awesome. I'm sure it's serving you really, 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 really well and your clients really, 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 really well. But I want to ask a question about this thing where you're strongest. And just ask yourself honestly, do you sometimes rely on this skill or this area a little bit too much? do sometimes rely on it a little bit too much. And I'll just give you an example. So when I first developed the befriending your fear process, it was like revolutionary for me. And I like saw so much shifting happening for clients as I was leading them through the befriend your fear process. And it was like magical, right? For those of you that are using that process with your clients, I mean, you know how powerful it is. It's amazing. But what I realized after like 2 or 3 months, as because I do assessments, right, what I realized was that I was actually relying a little bit too much on it, because I started to feel really comfortable with it. It was magical, you know, all of those things. And it was serving for sure, but I wasn't working enough sometimes the shadow angle on things or the rewiring angle on things, or it kept me from asking more mental level learning and processing breakthrough questions, right? So so I that helped me kind of go find a new balance with it. So wherever you're strongest at, are you relying on that a little bit too much? You may not be, but it's good to ask that question. All right, I want to move on to business assessments, because we still have to look at that and blueprinting today. I had another assessment for skills that I wanted us to look at, but I think what I'll do is I'll share that in the Facebook group, and this is another really great way to see what's going on for yourself in your coaching and also to, like, right away start improving. It's about specific client assessments. So we'll take a look at that. But for now, let's take a look at business. Some business pieces. So I'm going to give you a laundry list first, like I did with coaching skills. And I just want you to assess. On a scale of 1 to 10, where is your sacred message? How strong is your messaging in your marketing materials when you're speaking about your work on social media, in enrollment conversations? So the actual message, how strong is it? And I'm always, I don't think I've ever hit a 10 consistently in my messaging. I like had moments where I've hit the 10 and then it's kind of like fallen away. I think messaging is just one of those things to consistently be working on, and it may evolve, right? So it's just important for you. And so I say that because, like, it's need to be a 10, right? It's great when it is. But just for where you're at right now, where is your messaging? If your messaging is, like, anywhere 7.5 and above on a scale of 1 to 10, probably it's not going to be one of your top priorities to be working on right now. If your messaging is lower down on the scale, it's probably something that you do want to be paying a little bit more attention to right now. Because for all of us, messaging is important. On a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 5, when it comes to your offerings, whether it's one-on-one offerings and your packages or your group offerings, how aligned, on a scale of 1 to 10, like how aligned are they for you? How well are they working for you, right? So as you rate that one, you're going to want to take into consideration the rates, right? If the rates are not in alignment, you're not going to get a 10 on that one. Are they taking up an appropriate amount of your time? Are they really speaking to what your brilliance is and how you want to be helping people? There's a lot to consider when it comes to your offerings. You know, or if you're just doing one-offs right now, if that's not working for you, that's going to come into play, right? And also take some more specific notes to too as we go through each of these, because I'm sure, you know, just you're starting to get some ideas already for tweaks or places to work, right? So, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well are your offerings working for you? Are they offerings that excite you? Are they working for you in terms of rates, in terms of format? Do you have any, like, you know, there have been times in my career where I've just had, like, offerings that were old and stale that I was still offering out of habit and probably fear, right, that it's just really time to let them go. Or they needed to be tweaked in some way. Enrollment, conversation, sales call, scale of 1 to 10. Where are you with that right now? And again, none of this is to make you feel bad, right? That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to see where your strengths are and then to see where there's room to grow and where to work. So for example, you know, sometimes when you're not bringing on clients, and it can feel like so frustrating, like why aren't the clients coming in? And it just feels like everything is wrong, right? Like it's just never going to work. But you can see like the offering is good, is right. But the enrollment conversation is where things need to be improved. Or it's the system, it's the scheduling system for the processing, right, whatever it is. So you can even break down enrollment conversations. You know, hopefully everybody on this call knows my methodology for enrollment conversations. If you use that, you can even rate yourself on how good are you at activating gap, how good are you at activating vision, how good are you at activating bridge, right? So you can even pinpoint even more where you might want to be working. Where is the next place for improvement there? Next place I want you to assess, I'm just calling it outreach, and by that I mean individual outreach. Well, actually, you know what? Yeah, let's just keep it individual outreach. Scale of 1 to 10, how good are you? You know, where are you at with your individual outreach for one-on-one or for groups? Sometimes we can be stronger at something and then get less strong at it. Like, I used to be way stronger in my individual outreach, and what I've noticed is the last few years, I've just taken on this attitude of like, they either like me or don't, and I'm, you know, I'm less prone to like do individual outreach, or I've come to rely too much on my sales team for it, right? That's definitely a place I've been noticing now as I've been doing a little bit of outreach for individual outreach for Sacred Depths of like, oh, I have some tentativeness around this. And for years, I never had tentativeness around it, right? So it's good to notice those things. And then it allows me to focus more there, be more on my growth edge there. And again, you can get detailed in some of these things. So for example, like when it comes to outreach, maybe you're really strong at writing the letter, the email to outreach, but your system for like who you're reaching out to and when you did and when to follow up, like that's where you need some improvement. How about copy? So copy can mean, it is like the strength of your copy, whether it's program guides or sales pages or emails, sales emails, you know, whatever it is, on a scale of 1 to 10. And again, well, some of you may not know this, and there's a training for you actually in the Member Center for those of you that haven't been with me for too long. There's a little bit I mean, you know, there's no such thing as formula, but there is a little bit of a formula copy, which is similar to enrollment conversation copy. Gap plus vision plus bridge plus call to action. So how strong is your copy? Is that a place where you're probably at some point over the next 12 months going to want to be looking at a little bit more deeply? Look at a couple of more places here. Preview presentation. So maybe you need to be doing preview presentations in your business. You're not even doing them, right? So you still should rate it. But how effective are your preview presentations? You know, you can also look for this one at, like, how well are you doing at finding places to host you for preview presentations and doing outreach to get the gig, or if you're hosting your own, you know, how good are you at getting your community to come to those preview presentations? So you can, you know, like, rate this however, make it work for you. Get as detailed as you want here. Where are you with preview presentations? Website. This is another great example of, like, you may not score high in certain areas, but they don't matter, right? For actually, like, a lot of people, like, if you're at a 5 with your website, but you're doing a lot of individual outreach and it's about, you know, a lot of preview presentations with more intimate, you know, that people may not even ever need to go to your actual website, right? That's not true for everybody, but, you know, so and you may be in a place, like right now I'm in a place where we're up-leveling my website a little bit. Sometimes you need it, sometimes you don't. So rate where you're at with your website. But, you know, again, you wherever you're at with it, it may be that for your goals this year, you don't need to do anything with it. Social media. Scale of 1 to 10, how well is social media working for you? Again, you may not be on, I know there's some women on this call who, like, don't even have social media accounts, and you're doing great. That's awesome, right? But if social media is one of your marketing avenues and it is something that you want to work for you, like, where is it at right now? And again, you can get detailed. You know, it might be that your posts are amazing. They're a 10, but your consistency is a 3. You're just not doing it consistently enough, or, you know, whatever it is, right? So inspect that for a moment for yourself. And then we'll just look at two other areas. Newsletter. So if you've got a newsletter, scale of 1 to 10, how well is that working for you? And again, you might want to look at it in terms of, how strong is the messaging in the newsletter? Is it about consistency? Are you really great with the articles that you're writing, but not with the calls to action? Let's take a look at that one for a moment. And then finally, and just lump referrals and partnerships together. And that may, again, may or may not be relevant in your business. But where are you at with asking for referrals or creating partnerships with other businesses or organizations? Tupperware parties fall into this one for those of you that, you know, I've coached on in terms of Tupperware parties. JV projects. And then add anything else that might be relevant for you that we didn't cover. So, for example, if you'd like, you know for sure that this is the year that you're going to start a podcast or you want to get on more podcasts, you know, add that as a category. Or advertising, or bigger speaking engagements, conferences, right? And again, we can't work, you know, even me have like a team, you know, team people and all that. I can't work on everything, right? So if you're feeling a little overwhelmed in this moment because you've scored a lot of things low, it doesn't mean that you have to work on all of those things. What we're, where we're going to get go next, and I guess we'll just go there. I know I'm moving through this quickly, you guys. As you take a look at everything and you think about your goals for this year, where are the top two most important places for you to work over the next 8 weeks? So let's just think about the next 2 months. So roughly by November 1st, if you were to pick two areas to really work on, if you need to put down three, you can put down three, but no more than that. If you were to work on two or three areas over the next 2 months, what would those be? Okay, so that's a really good segue into just briefly talking about blueprinting. If you're on this call, you should know what I mean by blueprinting. I highly recommend some form of blueprinting, which is essentially mapping out your action steps. You can do it the way that I do it. But if the way that I do it doesn't work for you, you know, not there's no one size fits all, tweak it to make it work for you. But blueprinting, I have just found to be one of the most essential tools for productivity, for effectiveness, for moving forward. And for being able to prioritize and not get overwhelmed with your business. So you got, most of you know this, but I'll just share really, really quickly. So the way that I blueprint is I take a look at my yearly goal and I get clear, and I always do this paper and pen. I'll get a fresh piece of paper and I'll just think about the next month. So for the month of September, and I did this just a few days ago, the top of the page I write out my goals for September. Because thinking about the goals for the whole year is, like, way too big, right? So, you know, for example, like, for September, I had how many Sacred Depths is starting again in end of October. So I wrote, like, how many people in September I wanted to bring in to Sacred Depths. I have like one or two spots still open in the Celebrant training. I wrote down that I wanted two more people to step in to the Celebrant training in November. Let me get out my blueprint, actually, and give you some more examples. A lot of my programming is starting this month. So I just wrote down like really strong start first month to, you know, the different programs. Those are kind of like the big goals for the month, right? And you don't want a ton of big goals for the month. Usually 3-4 tops. And then from there, I wrote down on the piece of paper all of the things that have to happen this month in order to reach those goals. So, for example, tomorrow, and all of you were invited to this, my gift to you, you should have received an email. I'm doing a 3-hour breakthrough questioning workshop. That's a workshop, stands on its own, but it's a preview for Sacred Depths, right? So in August, you know, this is happening beginning of September, so I didn't have that much more to do for it in September. But like in August, I had, you know, 3 different sittings to get the outline for Breakthrough Workshop together. I still haven't written out the call to action for the Breakthrough Questioning Workshop. That's on my list, right? So all the different action follow-up emails after the Breakthrough Questioning Workshop. Another thing that I'm going to be doing to reach my number for Sacred Depths is I'm going to have, and actually I'm going to invite all of you guys to this, is I'm going to be doing an open house for Sacred Depths for people that know me well, know my work well, have been through Sacred Depths, to invite their friends. And I'm going to be doing some teaching and practicums and information about it, like all online, right? So that's happening beginning of October, but that made it onto my blueprint for this month because I have to get the marketing together. I have to invite my, you know, each of you and other people that I know to invite their friends, right? So I listed out each one of those actions. And I try to break the actions down to no more, nothing that's going to take me more than about 45 to 60 minutes. So if I need more than 45 to 60 minutes for something, I break it down into 2 sittings. And then after I do that, I go through and I set a date for each of the action steps throughout the month based on my calendar and my availability. And then I keep that piece of paper by my computer every day, and I see what I need to do that day, and then I know what I have to do that day, and I make sure that I do it, and sometimes I don't do it, and then I have to do it the next day, right? I'm not a machine. I'm human, so I don't always do it. So that may work for you. If not, find a different way. Tweak it. I'll have a template for you in the membership center with my way on it. But whatever it is, I really want to encourage you to either do it my way or find a way that works for you and start blueprinting monthly. So if this is something that you want to do as a group, I want to encourage you to do your September blueprint, if you haven't already done it, to do it by Friday. And absolutely post it in the Facebook group. I will take a look at it, I promise you. And you can have it there for accountability as well. The other thing I want to invite you to do is to introduce yourself in the Facebook group once we're all in there. As I said earlier, I know everybody in the group, and a lot of people know other people in the group. You've been in different programs together, but you don't all know each other, and you're all amazing. And I want you to get to know each other and for us to have support over the year. So if you want to introduce yourself and either share what's come through on the call today or some of your 12-month goals or, you know, whatever it is that you want to share, that would be awesome. So I know we just have like a minute or two left. I want to open up for, so first of all, actually before I open up for anything, I want you to write down, what are you taking away from our call today? I know we've been through a lot, so maybe you're not going to list out like each of the